Church, that brings us to our objective for today. Faith arouses. Faith arouses. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Why is faith important? We must have faith because faith arouses. Let me give you the definition of that word arouse. We remember this definition from a couple of years ago. And one of the definitions of arouse that we used 2 years ago was to wake up from spiritual sleep. To wake up from spiritual sleep. But that word arouse has other meanings as well. Arouse also means to excite into action that which is at rest. Arouse means to excite into action that which is at rest. And that word arouse means to stir up or to put in motion that which is apathetic. To stir up, put in motion that which is apathetic. Arouse means to wake up from spiritual sleep, to excite into action that which is at rest, to stir up or put in motion that which is apathetic. So, church, the subtitle for today's message is this: stirred up. Stirred up. We have to get stirred up. The only way we'll be stirred up is we have to have faith. Church, faith arouses. See, when we have faith in God, we act when God speaks. When we have faith in God, we act when God speaks. But we don't just act. We act with haste. That is, we act quickly. We act with zeal and effort. See, when we have faith, God's voice stirs us up. If I really believe that God has spoken and that his word is true, whenever he speaks, I can't just sit around. Can't just sit around and do nothing. See, we say we have faith, but do we really? When God speaks, are we stirred up? Can't just sit around after he speaks. We don't question and argue after he has spoken. When God speaks, we act. See, let's remember part of our definition of faith. We said that faith in part is a firm persuasion. A firm persuasion. It is a conviction. Faith is to have a firm and fixed belief that something is true. I believe that something is true, and I'm firm in it. I'm fixed in it. You can't move me from my belief. So when we have faith in God, we have a fixed and firm belief that what he says is always true. It's always true. See, I understand when I have faith that what I hear in the news may or may not be true. I understand that what the fellas say to me may or may not be true. I understand even that the things I promise myself may or may not be true. But that whenever God speaks, whatever he says, it is true. And if I'm confident of that, I'm going to act whenever he speaks. And that's the problem for too many of us. The Holy Spirit speaks, and it doesn't excite us to action. His words don't excite us to action. His voice doesn't stir us up to do what he said do. We hear what he says. We know it's him, and we fail to obey. Sometimes we argue and complain. Other times we simply ignore what he says. But in either case, we don't respond to his voice. No faith. So we say we have faith, but you can't believe that God is and that his word is true and it not do anything to stir you up. No faith. God's voice has no more value to us than all the other voices that we listen to, especially our own. But Pastor, okay, well, let me ask you this question. How many times have you talked yourself out of listening to God? Anybody? Anybody done that? Talked yourself right out of listening to God. You know you heard him. You understood what he said. And you talked yourself right out of it. Don't have confidence. No faith that what he says is true. Church, we lack faith. God, by his Spirit, is continually speaking to us. But we are not confident that what God is saying to us is true, so we don't obey. But our disobedience is wreaking havoc in our lives and in the lives of those around us, because when I should be an example to others, when I should be leading others out of darkness, I'm still trying to fix the issues of my life that should have been fixed long time ago. But those issues cannot be fixed because I won't obey God's voice. And until I obey God's voice, I'm just going to go round and round and round in circles. See, I should be moving, I should be building, and I should be saving. But instead, I am stagnant, life is crushing me, and I need to be delivered. No faith. Not confident in what God has already said to me. God has spoken enough to us, church, for us to never, ever wonder how to deal with any issue of our life ever again. He's spoken enough to us that we could live in wisdom for the rest of our life. No faith. Church, if our life will ever get on track, stay on track, and be used to save others, we must believe that what God says is true. Then we must act on what he says. That's what we're learning in Bible study, that our victory in life is in our obedience. There is no victory in life apart from obedience. If I am disobedient to God, I will not have victory. I don't care how much I cry. I don't care how much I complain. I don't care how much I moan. God, why is this happening to me? And I don't understand. And God is saying, if you want victory in your life, obey. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. Look at the life of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, we've already said that God had determined to destroy the world by flood because of sin and rebellion. But picking up in verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, like the world we live in today. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In other words, when he says I will destroy them, it's like God is saying I will wipe them off the face of the earth. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Look at how detailed God's instructions are. And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. God gave Noah specific instructions. Because Noah found grace in the eyes of God, Noah was described as a just and perfect man. It doesn't mean that Noah never sinned. And it doesn't mean that Noah earned approval with God through his works. What it means is that Noah trusted God. And because Noah trusted God, God approved of him. He was a just and a perfect man. And the Bible says that he walked with God. Now, when it says that he walked with God, it literally means that Noah acted with God, that he moved with God. In other words, Noah habitually conformed to the will of God. That's how he moved with God. And because of this, Noah came to know and understand that God was true in all that he said, that God was true in all that he promised. He had a personal relationship with him. So when the crisis came and God spoke, Noah believed. And because he believed, he was aroused. He was stirred up, excited into action, and he moved with haste and did all that God said to do, knowing that the preservation of his family was dependent on his obedience. Church, we must be like Noah. We must walk with God. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. Let us habitually conform to the will of God so that we will know through experience that all that God says and all that God promises, it is true. See, the only way our faith in God will grow and will be strengthened, we have to obey. Now, you have heard me say that over and over again. But the reason I say it over and over again is because we are looking for another way. God, find a way to strengthen my faith before I obey. Find a way to make me trust you before I ever do anything that you say. Why? Because what you were telling me to do is hard. And I don't want to just do what's hard. But church, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's impossible. Hard doesn't mean it's not the same thing as can't. And oftentimes we, oh Lord, it's just so hard. Pastor, you just don't understand. It's just so hard. Hard is not can't. You can and I can. And if our faith is going to be strengthened, we must obey. We can do this because we've already been taught about the power of God. We've already learned of the power of his word, the power of what he says. Church, we have been taught that God spoke the heavens and earth into existence. We have been taught that God speaks and miracles are performed. We have learned that God spoke and salvation came to be. We know that God spoke and eternal life was given. When God speaks, not anybody is speaking. His words are life. His words are power, salvation, and hope. Do we believe that? That's what we have been taught in the Word of God. Or is it just words on a page? that have no meaning to us.